Let's do a bonus. Let's do a bonus episode. I said we're gonna do a bonus. Yes, we're gonna do a bonus episode. Ooh, yeah. Yes, we will. Yes, we will. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Friday, March 18th, 2016. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on iTunes and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it'll make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart. What's inside of that thing? Not necessarily the biological things, but just the emotional things and all that other stuff that sometimes you might be afraid to talk about. You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now on Twitter at Chris Lambert. So, like I said before, this is a special bonus episode. I promised to get you this a little earlier than expected, but things happened and you're going to get it now. You're going to get it now as I'm talking to you. This is a special episode because I will be sharing my appearance on the show Low Standards with John and Matt. It's a show where you do a stand-up set, and you talk about a movie that you think is your guilty pleasure. And the movie that I talked about was Bring It On, and I'm going to share that with you in a bit. And I had a really great time, so I thought that I'd share it with you. I'm going to talk about a couple things. Right now, I am on location at the Palisades Mall parking lot. I just got added to host the very funny and the very talented Craig Robinson of The Office fame, Hot Tub Time Machine, countless other things. So I'm really excited to start this weekend off. I had a pretty good week. I mean, I headlined the Arts Quest Center at Steel Stacks, and I had a great time. I left work. That was St. Patrick's Day. That was yesterday. I hope you guys are recovering from your St. Patty's Day. I hope you wore green to work so nobody would say, how come you're not wearing green? How come you're not? You know, so you didn't have to deal with that and you could just get through your day like I did. And so I left work and drove a couple of hours to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and I had a great time. So shout out to Ryan Hill for having me. That meant a lot to me because that was a place that I opened for people. I featured there a couple times, and I got to headline out there. So incremental progress, that's what it's all about, getting better, having fun. And so I just had a blast. So shout out to Ryan and all the great people at Steel Stacks. I had a pre-show snack, which were these like egg roll type steak, Philly steak and cheese egg rolls, little tiny bites. You're like, they were really good. The girl working there was like, oh, these are my favorites. So I was like, all right, I'm going with your faves, and that's what I'm gonna do. So I did that, had fun, and then drove back. And I wanted to drop this episode a little earlier. You guys might get this. You'll probably get this on Saturday, but I'm recording it on a Friday just to pull back the curtain. You know, I wanted to do that, but I had to, I had an audition that I had to go to in the city, and I did that and I came back, and now I'm in the parking lot, recording the intro to this podcast. So, I wanted to say there was a couple other things. I'll give you some movie reviews. Why don't I give you some movie reviews? And then I'll take you to the show. So last week I saw three movies. I saw Triple Nine before I went to go see Low Standards, and went before I went to perform on those standards. That was like last week. And I was kind of excited to see it, but I was really disappointed because this movie had a lot of heavy hitters. It had Anthony Mackie, Casey Affleck, Chiwetel Ejiofor, Clifton Collins, and Kate Winslet. And I was really disappointed. I mean, it got 54% on Rotten Tomatoes, 6.6 out of 10 on IMDb, and 52% on Metacritic. So it's kind of mixed reviews. I would not recommend. I'm sure this is, by the time you hear this, it's probably out of theaters and on its way to being like digital download or streaming or rental. This is a movie. It's not. So I'll read you the plot to this movie. Bullets fly on the Atlanta freeway as armed thieves make their getaway following a bank robbery in broad daylight. Unhappy with the results, ruthless gangster Irina Vlaslov, that's Kate Winslet plays, orders the men to pull off another job. One member of the team is Marcus Belmont, Anthony Mackie, a crooked cop who gets saddled with Chris Allen, Casey Affleck, his new but incorruptible police partner. As Belmont and his cohorts lay the groundwork for their heist, they come up with a devious plan to use Allen as their pawn. And this movie also had Woody Harrelson in it, and Michael Kenneth Williams was in it for a hot second. It was just like, it was kind of a star-studded cast with quality actors, but it was just like a meh, mediocre movie where I didn't know Atlanta had that many Mexicans that these cops could have shootouts with and just kill a shit ton of Mexicans with tattoos. It kind of reminded me of the end of Spring Break when these girls were just randomly killing a lot of fucking black dudes. And I was just like, oh, wait a minute. This is kind of a slick, hip movie that's not taking itself too seriously. But then, you know, you're killing a lot of fucking black people at the end. And I was just like, and so I'm not, you know, they killed enough Mexicans to make me think like, wow, you're killing a lot of fucking Mexicans. Like Donald Trump would probably love this movie, but I would say you don't have to see this in the theater. You could see this on Redbox, or you can get it on Redbox or see it, wait till it comes on cable, and you'd be like, oh, okay, that was all right. That was fine. And it just seems like all the black people died in the movie. Well, it wasn't that many, but everybody fucking dies, but Casey Affleck doesn't die because he's the white hero. So I don't know. I was really disappointed. I wasn't expecting too much, but just with the quality of actors in it, was just kind of like, ugh, are you serious? Is this what's hot in the streets? And okay, so the next movie I saw, and I don't know how I want to really get, how I really want to discuss this movie, because I don't want to give anything away. I saw before my show at the High Mud Comedy Festival, I went to go see 10 Cloverfield Lane in North Adams, Massachusetts. It was their old school multiplex. Like when I was a kid, there wasn't stadium seating. It was like just 8 theaters, and it was fine. For a while, I thought it was just going to be like a private VIP screening because there was nobody there. I think it was like maybe like a 3:30, 4 o'clock show. And this movie has an 8 out of 10 from IMDb, 89% Rotten Tomatoes, 76% Metacritic. I guess I can read this. This isn't really spoiling. I would say, you know what, Michael Felder wouldn't appreciate me not telling the homie Michael Felder from the Bleacher Report, friend of the podcast. He probably wouldn't mind if I spoiled the movie, but I would say I would recommend that you could go to, if you're looking for something to go see 10 Cloverfield Lane, and you will enjoy it. You'll be entertained. It's almost like a, I don't know what the movie term for this is, but it's like when a television show is set in one, when a te- ah What is going on with me? When a TV show is set in one location for a particular episode, they call it a bottle episode. And I think the term was coined when you don't have a lot of money to produce an episode. You have to keep it in one location. Like Breaking Bad had an episode like that where I think it was called Fly. It was like the Fly episode where they were just stuck down in the below the laundry, below the cleaners making the meth, I think. But that would be considered like your bottle episode. It mainly takes place in one location, and it was good. I mean, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, John Goodman, and who's the other actor? John Gallagher Jr. So I thought it was entertaining. I know a lot of people are kind of going ape shit over it, but it's good. And I would say if you're looking to go see a movie this weekend, it's definitely one to see. Anything that J.J. Abrams has his hands in, like, it's going to be good quality, I would say. You know, I'm going on record in saying that. And Saturday, I had some time to kill before the show, and I went into Pittsfield, Mass, and saw the Brothers Grimsby, which is the latest Sacha Baron Cohen movie. And I'll read you the blurb for this. Dim-witted Nobby, Sacha Baron Cohen, lives in an English fishing town with his loving girlfriend, Rebel Wilson, and 9 children. For the last 28 years, he's been searching for his long-lost brother, Sebastian, played by Mark Strong. When the two finally reunite, Nobby finds out that his sibling is a top MI6 agent who's just uncovered a sinister plot. Wrongfully accused and on the run, Sebastian now realizes that he needs Nobby to help save the world and prove his innocence. This movie was all right. They gave it a damn. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 37%, Metacritic 44%. 6.8 out of 10 on IMDb. I thought this movie was pretty funny. I liked it. It was pretty cool because it had a lot of action mixed with the comedy, and there were a couple of like crude, very crass moments where it was like, oh god, you guys are really doing this. It was like, holy shit. And it was aight, you know what I'm saying? It was okay. I think you could wait on it for real, but you know, it was aight. It was aight. So that's the movie reviews. I'll give you a music review too. Why not? What the hell? I've been listening all week to this album Lead Poison by Elzai, and Elzai is a Detroit MC. He's super, super talented. He's just like a really dope lyricist. And this album, it was highly anticipated. One, because he's a great MC. Two, because he had a Kickstarter or GoFundMe for his album, and it took him a long time to produce the album. And it was getting to a point, I think he raised about $37,000 somewhere along those lines. He raised a bunch of money and hadn't put out the album, and people were pissed. They were going to try to file a class action suit. Then an article surfaced maybe a month or so ago that said he had an album and there was a track list, and then he released a single. And so it was just like, it's like, okay, like this is the album. Like, this is the album that I'm excited about. And I would say, like, this is to me right now, this is my favorite album of 2016. It's just so, like, Common has this line, "I'm a complex man drawn off of simplicity." And that was in The Sixth Sense. I think I talked about that on when I did the Swatches and Boomboxes podcast with Neil Charles and Jim Search. Like, it's just, it's a complex simplicity. And he talks about a lot about, there was an article that I think it was on Noisy, And he would say he had an interview when he was talking about like what it's like to have depression and mental illness and or certain things. And he seems to talk a lot about that on this album. And it's just done so masterfully. And like yesterday, I was on my way to Bethlehem. I had a long drive, so I was listening to his first album. I would say his first proper album, which is called The Preface. And it's really dense, but it's accessible. And like each almost there's two records that actually I would say there's three that are standouts to me. I would say Egocentric, 216 and Hello, 216s and Hello, like tracks 5, 6 and 7. Like the whole album's really good, but those three songs are just like they pack a wallop, because it's like this, you know what? I was thinking about this on the way to the parking lot of the Palisades Mall. The album sort of reminds me of how great Inception is. That Christopher Nolan movie, where it was like it's a mainstream blockbuster, but it manages to have this critical. It I think it satiates like a hip hop nerd. It has the appeal where this guy's got these great bars and he's dope, but it's really great, and the replay value is good because you kind of uncover a lot of different things that he's talking about. And like I was talking to one of my buddies last night, my best friend, who we talk every time like a release like this happens, we talk about it. And I sent him this record called Hello, which I think is my favorite record on the album. And it's like, he was like, yeah, man, I was listening to it and I got it, but then I knew I had to listen again. I had to listen to it like 8 times so I could really appreciate it. And he mentioned how, you know, like that's something that's missing from a lot of hip hop, a lot of music right now. There's some great fucking music happening. There's great music all around us, but just like it's when you hear something like this, it just, you appreciate it so much. And I think it's one of my favorite albums of the year so far, and probably just one of my favorite records. This is gonna have to go. This is gonna have to go up there, guys. Like the Elzai is now like he has to be in my top 10. I haven't really expanded along. Like after my top 5, which would be Black Thought number 1, Q-Tip, Common, Mos Def and Fonte. Like those guys are my top 5, and I'm thinking like Sky Zoo and Elzai would round out at least the top 7. So yeah, man, like it's just a really, really good album, and it's not even out yet. It actually leaked, and so I'm definitely buying this when it comes out. I hope it comes out in CD, but anyway, like it's a terrific album. It's layered so well. The subject matter is really, it's dense, but it's accessible. There are a lot of MCs that are super dope. Like they're supremely dope, but then it's just like, you really have to unpack a lot, but he manages to do this really well. And he's got some, you know, some fun songs. There's a song called 216s. And it's just like he just starts out by saying, like, I'm gonna give you these 216s. Like, I know you just want like this hot shit, but I'm gonna give them to you. But I'm gonna give them to you in my way. I'm gonna give it to you like I'm gonna throw some real shit at you. It's just like, oh my god, I can't say enough about how dope Lead Poison is. Like from the album cover to the content, the album cover is like a cartoon of him. Under like he's walking, let me pull this up, it would be nice if I could just pull this up. See, every time I try, see, I'm doing this on my phone, I don't have my I don't have my computer or my laptop with me. So it's a picture of him running through the rain, and he's got a raincoat on, and he's got a notebook. He's like got a composition book that he drops, and there's a cloud over him with rain and pencils like this that are falling on him. So it's just like really, I mean, it's just, I don't know, man. It's just so fucking dope. And I've been listening to it like for the whole week. And it's so, like, I was really excited to listen to this album. And it just delivered more. It exceeded my expectations. So I highly recommend it. So I've been blabbing enough. So let me bring you guys to this. Let's talk about this bonus episode. So Low Standards with John and Matt, every time I'm looking for something, you know how when you're looking for something and they try to make all right. So this is a show from these UCB guys, John Murray and Matt Fisher. And it's produced by Maggie Maxwell and Crystal Rangel. They do this show, and I've talked about it a bunch of times. And so I went on there, and this is like the right before I did this, the night before I did the High Mud Festival that I was preparing for. So every time when I have a big show, I would like to book a lot of shows just to get ready and to work on some material and try some stuff out to see how it lands, and then I tweak it and fix it. So I don't think I've shared much stand up with you guys before. So this is me doing about a 10 minute set, and I'm working on material, all this material that I ended up doing on the main stage at the High Mud Comedy Festival. Listening back to it, it's like, oh, I missed a tag on that. Missed something on this. Would have liked to have done it a little differently, but you get to hear what it's like on a normal night for me, working on material in New York City and in Brooklyn. And so I'm really excited to share it with you. And after the set, I'd spent maybe 25 minutes talking to Matt and John about bringing on, and we had fun. Like, it was just a really, really good time. And so I don't know, the audio is not super great, but you will get an idea of everything that went on, and I hope you enjoy it. I hope you enjoy this bonus episode. Thanks for listening. Got more coming for you, folks. All right.
Wonderful podcast called The Mundane Festival. He's a super nice dude, and we're excited to have him. Put your hands together for Chris Lambert, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. One more time for John and Matt and Maggie. I'm really happy to be here. I feel like there's enough white people here for me to get a good gauge on what I want to ask you. I'm not saying that to be divisive. I just really want to know. When did you guys give up on Garden State, the movie? When did you stop liking it? Because I thought it was great. Like, I thought it was a good movie. It's like, what, 12 years, maybe 10 or 12 years later, and I'm seeing all these, like, fake pieces and this revisionist history about, like, why Garden State sucks. And it's like, I'm like, come on. And, like, Natalie Portman, I read an interview where she was, like, embarrassed that she did that movie. And it was just like, she felt awkward about it because the girls on Broad City made fun of it. Now, look, and I was like, look, I like Broad City. I watch it, I DVR it. I was a fan of the show when it was a web series before it went to Comedy Central, but fuck them a little bit. Natalie Portman, you gonna shit on Natalie Portman? She's an Oscar winner. Like, she's an Oscar, are you kidding me? I don't know, I just like the fact, like, Zach Braff, he's likable. I like him. And he has this quality white man face that makes me feel like if he was in a movie and he was like a teacher and he would help inner city kids do well in school, even if they couldn't play sports. Like, even if they, he would help them out. He's like, it's all right, Malik, don't worry, you didn't make the basketball team. You're gonna have a late model sob anytime you want it. You're gonna be an engineer. So fuck.
the basketball team, you know? I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I don't know what your political affiliations are, but I just feel really weird about the way this country's going now with the elections. Like, it's weird that Donald Trump is so far ahead. Like, he's doing so well. And it's just like, I feel like he just became a gremlin. Because somebody fed him at 11:58. And like, he's this monster. Like, he was cute at first, but then now he's just like, and everybody's like, oh my God, this isn't funny anymore. This is serious. We gotta stop this. And I just don't believe in any of the candidates. Like, they just make me feel uneasy. Like Bernie Sanders, like, he's okay, like, he's fine, but then his supporters I'm having trouble with, because a lot of my friends on social media, the black ones, when they say something like, oh, I don't know about Bernie's policy on such and such, and then like somebody on Twitter will be like, Bernie Sanders marched with Martin Luther King, you fucking nigger! You black son of a bitch, learn some respect! And I'm like, oh my God, I don't know, Bernie Sanders is okay with his supporters. I don't know if I would have voted that in the office. You're around, it's just like, feel like Ted Cruz, like, he can't even get his daughter to hug him. And it's just like, she's like, get away from me, you fucking Canadian. Are you even eligible? Like, it's just weird. So I think what's missing is just that America needs a new black family to believe in. We do, because it's not the Obamas, because they're leaving. They're on their way out. You know, Barack is, you know, he was one time earlier, maybe a few months ago, he was asking if people wanted to fight him. He's like, if anybody wants to pop off, you can pop off. Really? You know, Michelle's rapping in videos. Like, come on, man. Like, come on. Show some dignity. You're classy, you know? And it can't be the Cosby. It's not the Cosby Show anymore. And a lot of people, you know, it's wrong what he did, you know, but it upsets me. I feel sad about it because, in spite of all that, he put images on screen that made me feel like I could go to college because Theo and Denise went. You know, like, it's just simple as that, and it's sad. Like, you know, there was an episode where he gave everybody like barbecue sauce, and everybody got like wasted off of it, like drunk and freak. It was just weird, and like, you can't watch that anymore. And it's sad. It's really sad, you know. And so, I'll give you a family that you can root for and that you can believe in. It's the Currys. You guys know who Steph Curry is?
Yeah.
All right, for those of you who don't know, Steph Curry plays with the Golden State Warriors. He's the best basketball player in the NBA right now. He leapfrogged Kevin Durant and LeBron James. He's going to win another MVP this year. The things that guy does on the court, you can't even do it in the video game. Like, I tried and you can't. Like, he's amazing. He's fantastic. He's an amazing player, and he's doing it in Under Armour sneakers, which are the goofiest fucking shoes that you can. I'm 36. I grew up in the 90s where people loved Jordans and Nikes. People used to kill each other for Jordans. Nobody's gonna kill anybody for Under Armour sneakers. Nobody's gonna stand in line at 4 o'clock in the morning waiting for a store to open to get Steph Curry sneakers, neglecting all of their responsibilities. Nobody's gonna do that. Nobody's gonna write a think piece. Nobody's gonna write a think piece. I don't see why all of y'all standing out in line, and you're not standing in line for a job, but you're standing in line with Steph Curry sneakers. Word, is that what you're doing? Is that what's happening in the streets now? Nobody's gonna do that, you know? And Steph Curry, like, his family's amazing. Like, his mom's hot. His dad used to play in the NBA. They just have a sweet, adorable family. They are just light-skinned excellence. The Currys are light-skinned excellence. If Hitler were alive today and he saw them, he would be like, oh my goodness. They're amazing. They're a beautiful family. Maybe I have this wrong. That's my limited faith in Hitler. Still working on it. But I think they're great. I think they're really great, and I know this because they're just sometimes they're a little too sweet, And there is wife, Aisha, the horrible wife, and she has a YouTube channel where she gives homemaking ideas and all this cool shit. And he met her in Bible study. It's just like, ah, oh, Jesus Christ. Got a toothache when I found that out. Just like, so sweet. And so like, so she has this channel, and Steph was a guest on the show. And they were asking, they were doing mailbag questions, and they asked Steph a question. They said, Steph, if you could describe your wife as an animal, which animal would you choose? And without hesitating, Steph Curry said, I would describe my wife, Nala, as... Oh, fuck. Fuck that up. I would describe my wife as Nala from The Lion King. And I was just like, oh my God. Fuck you, man. You have to be that adorable. Like, Jesus Christ. All right. Curry's 2016. All right. So that's who you should start. Look him up. Look those fam. Look that family. So I turned 36 a couple months ago. I don't know. I'm glad that it's March now and it's not Black History Month. And not because last Black History Month was just kind of, it was bad for me. I felt really bad because Cam Newton lost the Super Bowl. And I just like, I'm pretty rational about most things. Like most things, if I have a position on something, I could be swayed if your argument's good. But not Black quarterbacks. Just because Cam Newton, the things that he was doing, like he was scoring touchdowns, he made football fun again, he was dancing, he was giving touchdown footballs to adorable white kids, and it just made me feel good. And I was like, oh my God, he could do it, like he might win. This is gonna be amazing. This guy is just this unapologetically Black guy, he's good looking, and it's just great. And then like he lost, and I just felt empty. Like I just felt like I now know what the Confederacy must have felt like when they lost the Civil War. I was like, you're gonna take our slaves? Are you serious? Well, what are you saying? Maybe we get to own them in another way when they play sports? All right, see you in 100 years, okay. No, I just felt bad, and I think maybe it's because of my parents, because my parents are, they're in their 70s, and they grew up in, like, North Carolina when segregation, I don't even know if it was a real word back then. It was just like, we stayed in our place, and they stayed in theirs, and we didn't bother each other. And they're obsessed with Venus and Serena Williams. Like, they're obsessed. It's like, I'm their only child, but when they're playing, I'm their third. And it's just, I can't get, like, they don't care about anything in my life, but they love them so much. It's like, if they lose, I feel like they think if they lose, we're gonna get, like, our civil liberties, like, taken away. Like, we're gonna have to, like, sit at the back of the bus and drink out of separate water fountains again. It's like, not gonna be that way. I don't know, you know, something lighter. Can I hit something lighter? So, all right, so I turned 36, and when you reach an age like that, you start to reflect back on your life, and I was doing that, and I said, I'm doing, you know, doing pretty good. I'm doing stand-up comedy, living my childhood dream on a Thursday night in a bar. Drink tickets and everything, so I'm killing it right now. I'm living my dream. When I was a kid, I wanted to play in the NFL. Like, I thought I was going to play in the NFL. I wanted to be like Bo Jackson. He was my favorite player. Every Black guy that you meet is a failed running back. Like, he just didn't make it. No matter how good his life is, he didn't make it. And so, that's not true. Don't say that. Words tomorrow, you'll end up in HR. Wonder how you're gonna pay your rent. He's like, he said the other Black guy said. Don't do that. This is a joke. So when I was a kid, I told my dad, I said, Dad, I'm gonna play in the NFL. I'm gonna do it. And he said, No, you're not. And I said, Why, Dad? Are you serious? Why? And he said, You're just not mean enough, Chris. You're not mean enough. You don't have it in you. And I was thinking about that recently, and I said to myself, Well, maybe, Dad, if you weren't around all the time. Living in the same house as me and my mom, signing permission slips, giving me braces, teaching me how to drive, I would be an all-pro running back right now. Thanks for everything, asshole. I'll leave you guys with this. When I was 19 years old, my dad bought me a Dawson's Creek poster. Ladies, I'm single after the show. I love that show. Mainly because I had the hugest crush on Katie Holmes. I was in love with her. I would collect magazines every time she was on the cover. That was a little creepy. And I moved away to college, and I was watching Dawson's Creek like I normally would. And at the end of this particular episode, they made an announcement, and it said, "Get your limited edition Dawson's Creek poster, free with purchase at the WB store." And I was like, "Oh shit! I need one of those posters," but there was no WB store near me, so I called my dad. I said, "Dad, you gotta get me a Dawson's Creek poster from the WB store." And he said, "All right," and he did it. Like he made a 60-mile round trip. He put his manhood on the line, never questioned mine, and got me that poster. And to get it, you had to buy something. So he bought me a Tweety Bird beer mug. And that's why I don't play in the NFL. All right, thanks, everybody.
It's very polite because I had to sit down during the procedure. It was
wonderful. Yeah, just grab that one.
Yeah.
Pull these two over here. Everyone, put down.
Okay. Can I say while you guys are getting ready? I have a somewhat Dawson's Creek poster story.
Okay.
When my mom brought me to Caldor one time, and I was like, I was like 8, and I'm always asking, you know, kids are always asking for shit in stores, and they had a cassette of the music for Rainbow Bright. But it was in an album case. It was in like a giant yellow album like thing for like a record album. This is when they sold albums, so there was like a cassette. And I was like, I'll take a flyer, I love Rainbow Bright. And I asked my mom, I was like, can I get this thing? She was like, all right. And she gave it to me, and I saw him hauling it around Caldor. And then I didn't realize we were meeting my dad. My dad was like gonna come from work. And like, they're both cool. Nobody ever put anything on me or like my dad. There's nothing wrong with that. But just some sort of internalized thing. I saw my dad and I was like, no. This is like daytime TV thing. This is like when he's away. And I had it and I didn't get rid of it. I kept it and I enjoyed it. Rainbow Bright is pretty good. And then now like club girls dress up like that and go on Instagram. It's fun. John?
I never really got anything girly. Well, he's a girly. I don't even know if that's right to say, or something that would be deemed that.
Yeah.
I mean, I do remember I was on a road trip once where I gave everyone my iPod and it was like all like 80s synth hits. And I did like this weird thing where I decided to make the song list like I was a teenage girl.
That was your first
thing.
So
I played it for a carpool of men, and everyone was like, what the fuck is this? And then me, being me, decided to explain to everybody what I was trying to do. And everyone was like, shut the fuck up, man, and give me my iPod back.
What's like a sample track?
Oh, I don't know. I had like a lot of like, it was like Haircut 100 and like, you know, all sorts of like other stuff. It was like, I'd have to like get that playlist out and see what it was kind of going
on. Elder Barge?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. That kind of stuff, you know? Anyway.
Thank you for rehabilitating garbage.
I don't know if that opened up anything good.
I don't know. I mean, I enjoyed it. I mean, I was a fan of Zach Braff when Scrubs came out, so I was like, oh, he's making his directorial debut.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, I'm excited. And it was good. And like, I guess Natalie Portman, I guess would you say that she originated the Manic Pixie Dream Girl?
That is where they put it.
She's the prototype, right?
An unrealistic woman that rehabilitates a sad sack.
Yeah,
man.
Right. Yeah, right.
I feel like Dunks was in a movie that, speaking of
Elizabeth Town,
right?
Which is not as bad as people said it was.
Oh man, you have a type of a movie.
That was
what do you think about Aloha?
Now, amidst all the controversy with the court, Emma Stone being Asian, that movie got me at the end. I teared up at the end. It got me at the when did you guys do that?
No, did you go to the theater to see that?
I did.
You're a fucking.
You come back every time.
That's amazing. That's amazing right there. Give him a round of applause. I was supposed to be like, yeah, if I had the time, but you're like, nope, time to go see what's going down there.
Bradley Cooper is really good at being in these white man redemption movies, where he fucks up. He's like, oh, I'm gonna fuck up, but I gotta get my life together. And that's what he did. That was his character in Aloha, and I enjoyed it. And there's a spoiler alert. You find out he used to date Rachel McAdams' character, and he has a kid by her, and she doesn't tell him. And then you find out at the end, and I was like, wasn't expecting the waterworks to come, but they came. And it's a scene where she notices it, and he knows, and it's like, fuck. That's how I was feeling it. I liked it, you know?
There you go.
Could they have put Olivia Munn in the Emma Stone role? Of course they could have.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I would have seen that. I totally would have seen that. How's everything else, man? How you been?
I'm pretty good.
Pretty good. It's good to talk to someone who's relatively the same age.
Yeah.
I'm only a year older than.
Okay.
So it's good, I understood everything you're talking about. I didn't watch Dawson's Creek.
Clay doesn't get us, man.
This audience doesn't get us. You get me, man.
Yeah. I don't know what your age is. It's always remember Sloan in Brooklyn when you never know.
Who is below the age of 30 here? Give a round of applause.
Okay.
Alright. Who is above the age of 30 here? Alright, we're gonna raise your hand, sir. Okay.
Anyone who hasn't clapped yet?
What the fuck are you doing here, man? What are you doing here? You're too old for the club, dude. Time to go home.
Order, where are your parents?
Exactly, yeah. Hey, 12-year-old, what the fuck are you doing here?
I was like, what's your life like? it's like the one on Stickball. It's the back of the video store.
Yeah, I never got into that show. People loved it. I feel like I never watched any of the soap operas.
I had goals of being, I wanted to be on a teen TV show or something.
So did you watch 90210?
A little bit. I wasn't into as into that as I was Dawson's Creek. But I think now, maybe I could be their teacher, somebody's teacher. kind of like Tim Meadows had in Mean Girls. He was just like, all right. He's like, let's welcome to the Winter Ball. And he got crazy. He's like, all right, settle down. Calm the fuck down. So, I don't know. Dreams change.
Yeah. As long as you get on the show. Tell us about your podcast, too, because you got a good podcast.
Yeah, I have a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher and Podbean, which is the host site, called The Mundane Festival. And it's a show where it's like a stream of consciousness thing where I'll talk about pop culture, current events, and then sometimes I have a guest, and we'll talk about their career. I've had sports writers on, I've had actors, musicians.
That's cool.
It's a fun show.
That's great. How long have you been doing that?
3 years.
3 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds really good. Who's your favorite guest?
Wow, it's so hard. It's like choosing your favorite kid. I don't know. I don't have a kid, but...
You know what? I'll tell you
right now. It's not a race.
Or your favorite Dawson's Creek character.
There you go. Who is? Molyneux Kate Holmes.
Yeah, Joey Potter. I would say... One of my favorite, which was a big get for me, this one of my favorite musicians, Fonte Coleman,
okay,
who is a super talented MC, and he is transitioned to adult contemporary R&B with this group called The Foreign Exchange. And I happened to be doing some shows down in Myrtle Beach. He lives in Raleigh. I just threw a Hail Mary. I had met him a few times, but I threw a Hail Mary. He accepted the interview, went over to his house, and talk to him for 2.5 hours.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's episode 100 if you're into me being a fanboy. was one of my favorite artists. I tried to be cool,
yeah.
And I ended up being like Chris Farley. Like I said, remember when you did this song that was really cool? So yeah,
cool, man. All right, we'll check it out. All right, good. All right, so
you're here to speak about a movie.
I'm speaking about a movie. You brought an interesting choice that I think will go over really well.
Okay.
And race is a thing.
Let's ask before we announce that, when did you first see this?
Okay. Do we want to say the movie?
No, let's say
what do you think the best way to lay it on people would be?
Would you like to hold your title?
Do what you do.
So when did you first see? Where did
I saw it opening weekend.
Yeah.
I was away at college. I was a junior in college, and it came out in August.
Yeah.
And we had gotten on campus early because I think I was involved in Residence Life.
Right.
We were helping people move in, and I was like, oh, we got free time. I'm going to see this movie.
You seem like the nicest person to help people move in. That's amazing. I'm going to tell you right now. If I was coming to college, I met you, I'd be like, I fucking love it here.
A friendly face.
I'd just be like, hey, God, move in. It's like, I want to be my new best friend.
I'd be like,
weird that you had the Dawson's Creek poster.
I did. I did college tours.
You did?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Enrollment went up.
Really?
And they were like, it's a Mount St. Mary's College, which is now a university in Emmitsburg, Maryland, which is situated 15 minutes south of historic Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
You're already falling right back into it, man.
Yeah. And so, like, it was, I was taking summer classes, and I was giving the tours, and it's a liberal arts school, predominantly white, and not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's just like, I would give these tours, and people would be like, oh, we wish we could take you home. And I was like,
that makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah,
please
I'll stay here.
Saying that.
Yeah, but they were sweet people.
Gotcha. Hopefully no one will say that after the set tonight and come over.
Oh, ladies.
That would work out. Ladies, yeah, so, okay.
Can I give you guys a hand with the chairs?
Yeah, this is...
He had a broken chair.
No, that's fine. We don't need that in any joke.
We don't need
those chairs. This guy used to do college tours. He knows how to help people out and make them feel
comfortable. Oh, yeah, I wasn't even looking. I was being... I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. So anyway, you saw this opening weekend. We'll drop the title, everyone, because it's going to blow everyone's mind.
Bring It On.
There you go. I feel like this one passed me by. Did you catch it in the theater?
I saw it in the
theater. Yeah, I don't know.
It's good. It's upbeat. It's a grabber. It's a pop confection.
I might have been wearing a beret smoking closed cigarettes at this point, guys.
You're cool, good.
I was trying. Exactly. I was like, man, Kurt Russell's my idol. Dunst, cheerleaders.
Prime level Kirsten Dunst.
Man, yeah.
Also, Gabrielle Union.
Yeah.
One of her first big roles. It was just like a fun movie, but then looking back now, it really had a lot of, it dealt with a lot of issues. Like
right.
Homosexuality, race, cultural appropriation, and dance.
Well, from a mile away, it is kind of like a race war.
It is. It's born out
on the fields of cheerleading.
Right.
Yeah. It was very subtle, but I mean, for a big Hollywood picture, like that was pretty. It's kind of profound, I would say.
Did you go see this with a bunch of dudes or a mixed group of people?
What was really weird about this was I went by myself, and when I went. Like, I felt weird because there were just a bunch of girls, like, young girls there. And if you ever see a girl that is questionably young, like, you should just talk. Don't talk to her. I remember going to the movies seeing this, like, softball team, and I was like, oh, are they? I probably shouldn't be looking.
Hey, where's your team out of?
Yeah.
So. You guys from this town or one town over?
So it was kind of creepy.
Who's the pitcher?
I was 20 years old back then, so it was fine.
You want it?
It's not fine.
I don't.
I'm just trying to see a movie.
No, it's fine. So you like saw it by yourself walked in, and you were like, fuck yeah, that movie did it.
I was just like, it was cool, and I got it on DVD when it came out. I was a fan of... See, another thing like that people... Like, I like cinema, you know? Like, I'll go see, I'll see The Revenant. I'll see, I'm a big indie fan. Like, I'm an indie movie fan, but I think you have to be in a mood to watch something. Like, if I want to see Leo in snow for 2.5 hours, yeah. I got to prepare myself. And if I just want to relax and see some pretty girls dance and then maybe learn something about themselves and take themselves to a level where they never thought they could achieve, I'm going to watch Bring It On. You know what I'm saying? So,
man, no better way to introduce the clip. Let's watch a clip and Bring It On, everybody. So they watch some pretty girls dance and learn something about themselves. All right, so, you can do wherever you want to go, Chris. Chris, is there anything you need to, to set this up or anything?
I think we should look. Could we go back a little bit where Missy sees the Toros and she sees them doing their cheer? And,
sure.
And she finds out that their cheers have been stolen.
I have a question while you do this, Max. Can I ask you a question while you do this? Did you see this movie in the theater?
I did see it in the theater, yes.
Fuck, what was I doing when this movie came out, guys? Like,
yeah, we all went to the movies.
Yeah, right? I didn't get the memo to go see this movie.
You gotta go back. Yeah, it's bad. It's just like right, you can play it right there.
Really?
Wait a minute. Play it? I just wanna see. No.
She tries out here.
Keep going.
Further back?
She's trying out. No, you gotta go forward. I'm
sorry. Forward.
To where they're practicing, right before. Just a little. That's forward. That's forward. That's when they found out. They had found out. So right back. Keep going back. Sorry, guys.
No, it's good.
So it's a good way to look. If you haven't seen this movie, this is a good way.
Here we go. Here we go. A little bit more. There we go.
Go
here.
Go. All right.
Yeah.
Noah. Count me in.
Bring it on.
That was a good stop.
Ready, girl?
A real captain would have seen what I saw, a big, dykey loser. Did that strike too?
Can you pause it for a second? I can't remember who the girl that just walked out is. Who is she? Okay, I mean, in the movie, guys. Thanks, everybody. But, like, what is she? Why did she know that?
She's from L.A.
Okay.
She knows the Clovers because she's
playing. Oh, okay. All right. Now it's coming back. All right. Yeah. I just need to refresh my mind. Pause for one more second. Here, can I ask something real quick? Who here was a cheerleader? Can we get a round of applause? All right, we've got one there. One, okay, we got one cheerleader. We got any male cheerleaders here? Cheerleader? All right, so cheerleader. I don't want to call you cheerleader. That's
just
horrible.
You straight up just did.
I just did. I apologize. Miss. Okay, so let me ask you a question. You seen this movie?
Yes.
Did you find it to be an accurate portrayal of what it's like to be a cheerleader?
No.
Okay, all right, good to know. What did you find as a discrepancy of this movie of what it's like to be a cheerleader? Okay, and how's that different than regular cheerleading?
I wasn't competitive.
Okay, all right, cool. All right, ask a stupid question.
Are you saying you weren't competitive when you were doing it in school?
No.
Okay.
You just did it for, like, games and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, that'll be good to know. So there's a difference. All right, anybody else have any other questions for our cheerleader expert in the audience? Anybody else? Anybody? Do you remember our cheer?
Oh, God. Just say no.
Okay. You can do it seated if you want. If you want, if you really enjoy the show at the end, you can make up a cheer about the show. That'll make you feel comfortable as well. Okay. All right. I might have crossed the line there. Okay.
What the hell is that? I went out on a limb for you and you just bailed? I'm not about stealing. What are you talking about? You ripped off those cheers. Listen, Missy. Our cheers are 100% original. Count the trophies. Your trophies are bullshit because you're a sad ass liar. All right, that's it. Get out of the car. I'm going to kick your ass. Oh, really? Come on.
Why is your hair so wet? This is a little bit
of a 90s.
Yeah.
I'm
right. For real.
Now she's gonna take her to Compton.
They drove 102 miles to see this? Did they listen to Prodigy the whole time?
Gyms have nice ceilings.
Yeah, that was a nice ceiling gym, I will say. Can we pause for a second? Does anyone feel like Pitch Perfect owes this movie a lot of fucking, like, money?
Of course they do.
Oh, man. I'm watching this, I'm like, I've seen this. Only with a cappella and an annoying dude, you know what I'm saying?
Well, there's also Save the Last Dance.
Oh, yeah?
Well, that's a great movie. That's Julianne Styles.
But it has a similar ending where she realizes to open her heart to different styles of dance, and like the whole point is that like you like incorporate all your enemies.
I mean, that's just cinema, dude.
But see, in Save the Last Dance, Sarah's competition was with herself.
I think we're just going to bring you back each month.
You get us.
So, if you want to see like a little further, like. The Culvers confront them. You can see, like, y'all, you stealing our shit. If you just hit play. Oh, if you would just hit play. Oh.
Oh, shit.
No, you have to go back.
What are you talking? Burr, it's cold in here. I said there must be some Toros in the atmosphere. I know you didn't think a white girl made this shit up. Over, Felito. It's like every time we get some, here y'all come trying to steal it, putting some blonde hair on it. You know, it's something different. We've had the best squad around for years, but no one's been able to see what we can do. Oh, but you better believe all that's gonna change this year. I'm captain, and I guarantee you we'll make it to nationals.
Nationals.
Take me tonight. We'll call it even for now. We don't have any tickets. Really, we just came to see the show. What? Come on, Isis, let me do this. Uh-oh. You know what? Let's go. Wait a minute. So that's it? We're just gonna let them go? Yeah. Because I'm like them? We have class. I swear I had no idea. Well, now you do. You've been touched by an angel, girl.
You know, it's when I was researching this film, I found out that girl that just said that she's dead. Yeah,
that's Phil Harmon's wife.
She got killed in a car accident, and she used to be in this group called Black.
Oh yeah, Black with QU.
Yes, and they did a couple of songs for it. I was getting ready for this thing, you know, and I was like, oh, I'm excited. I'm going to talk about Bring It On and all that shit. And I was like, fuck, she's dead, you know, like. And she used to be Left Eye from TLC's protege. And they both kind of died in a weird way. Go to Wikipedia.
Yeah, do it. She said, touched by an angel, and now
yeah.
He is an angel, I guess, in a way.
Yeah. So,
man, that just didn't make anything better, did it?
You guys are really emotionally invested. Like, all these people are going to die eventually.
So, but all the people in this room.
So R.I.P. Natina Reed.
Okay, all right, guys. When you tweet tonight, you can put that one in.
So I guess we're gonna go to where
the check.
Yes, where Torrance feels bad and she wants to be the white savior.
I think you got to the end of the movie.
Yeah, you went to.
I think it's chapter 17. All right, cool, good. All right, yep, just working out in the gym.
Yeah. It's ethnically diverse. 16 years ago.
East Compton isn't on it. They couldn't raise the money in time. They're not going.
What do you mean they're not going?
There's no way not that. It's like,
not going. It's not good news.
What are you talking about? They don't go, we win. Once again, we're the best.
I define best as competing against the best there is out there. And
can we pause for 1 second? She's doing a lot of neck acting in this. I can't say anything about it. Every fucking scene, she's just like, let me tell you something. We didn't feel it. It's just like, they had to be like, Kristen, like, just keep stand up straight, stop straining your neck.
That's see, you gotta realize, like, she had, like, she's, this is her, like, figuring shit out. This is like, and she, you gotta let a white starlet grow. You know what I'm saying? You don't just ease into the shit. Like, did you see Fargo? Did you see her on Fargo?
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome. All right. There you go, Rick.
It's so unfair. The first time
just watch that neck every scene right now.
The bar is spinning off into another dimension.
Even he's thrown it out on it.
I stay out for money all the time, honey. I just can't.
It's not that much money, Mr. Level Playing Field. Tell them the deal. Maybe they'll want to help.
Yeah. Okay, I'll make the call, but hey, they'll probably say no.
Don't let them. Think of how much they'll mean to East Compton. They deserve to go. Do the right thing, Dad.
Jesus, they yell everything in this movie.
She's starting to care about stuff.
We come from, cheer is not a word we hear very often. They should call us inspiration leaders instead.
That is the nicest gym I've ever seen in my
life. We come from to some talk shows. It's not charity. Paulette Pack is from our neighborhood. She'll understand why we need the money. Tell her we need to buy donuts. Her big butt understand that. Stop being counterproductive, right?
So
stop her. Please stop teaching her these big words before she choke on her. No, better I choke you, Lefred. Look, Janelle.
Hey, guys, stop. Please.
Damn. Well, tell her about the late night practices we've been having.
There you go.
That's the kind of stuff she wants to hear about.
Now we're talking.
What?
Every shirt's a midriff.
Yeah, it's a big year.
What a big year for my
group. Play!
I don't see why it's canceling.
You guys have to go to Masters.
Did you come up here just to tell me that?
Here, I got my dad's company to sponsor you guys.
What is this, hush money?
No.
Oh, right, it's guilt money. You pay our way in and you sleep better at night knowing how your whole world is based on one big old fat lie.
Go back to Gabriel. Keep going. Go get that shot on her. Go back. Okay, play again. Hit play. Good play. Here you go. Go. Pause.
What?
Look at that posture. Great fucking posture. That's kind of, she's like, yeah, that woman just had a stand. Now watch if Kristen does the rest of the scene. Go. Look at the stand.
Fart face. Ragdoll posture.
It's so mean. I'm just trying to do the right thing here.
Look, I'm trying to be strong for my squad, okay? That's what a captain does.
Well, I'm a captain too, you know. And I'm trying to make it right.
You want to make it right?
Bring it on.
Then when you go to Nationals, bring it. Don't suck out because you'll be sorry for us. That way, when we beat you, we'll know it's because we're better.
I'll bring it.
On.
Don't worry.
Who wrote this movie?
So that, you know, that's it. Like that, I think that was a pretty powerful scene. It's like we're not taking your charity because you feel guilty. All right, son.
Should we end on a cheer? Guys, you want to end on a cheer? We got a big cheer at the end, right? There's a big cheer at the end. Like, yeah. let's see a cheer.
Like, towards the end. Clovers or Toros?
We want to do Clovers or Toros. Who wins it, guys? Alright, I'm here, Charles.
Race war.
Race war, yeah, exactly. He's the cause of the race war in this fucking place.
Make sure it's the white women who dance.
And it's interesting. interesting that the Toros actually came in second place. Like, they normally, you know, they would win the whole thing, but...
Just relax. Forget about all those faces out there and just... Imagine that we're back.
There's a chorus. You want to see Chris and Dunst, but we got a football podcast. You want to watch this? All right. Go ahead. All right,
now let's do this.
This is the better one?
Yeah.
They won.
All right, is there more backflips in this one? Oh, that's all I care about is competitive cheerleading backflips. Cheerleader, how you feeling? You pumped? You get me like back? You back there? You back there right now? All right. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's my kind of shit right there. Yeah, man. Yeah, I know, it's hard. I think I was at a game where I saw one have a little bit of a fall.
Like what kind of game?
I was at football.
These are professional cheerleaders?
Yeah, well, Syracuse, man. We're a big football school. We had the cheerleaders. And then our mascot was a giant orange. Yeah. And his big thing was like, when, no problem. It's probably boring anyway, but his big thing is if he fell on the ground, he couldn't get up, and that's how he would cheer for the team. Our mascot would just roll on the ground like a giant turtle, and the cheerleaders would have to pick him up. They'd be like, yay!
Were you there? Were you at school when McNabb?
I was.
Oh, that's fucking awesome.
I was.
I never went to a game.
But my parents dragged me to one football game. They're like, okay, this is an important football player. You need to see this. I was a theater major. I was like, I don't need this. But they're like, he's important. Go see him. So I got to see McNabb play once while I was there. Never made it to a basketball game at all.
Aww.
So it's fine, guys. I'm good with it. How was your school team?
Our basketball team made the NCAAs like in 1999, the year that Michigan State won. Like, okay. Mateen, Cleve, this really just really alienating. All you guys that...
You know, it doesn't make any sense to me either, but did you have a football team?
No. Okay. It was just, we had a rugby team. Football team was playing Madden on PlayStation.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to say about this wonderful film?
I'm just going to go on record and say I don't think it's a bad movie. I just think it's a good movie. It's a fun movie. And it dealt with a lot of issues that still go on today.
Chris Lambert,
thank you.
Oh man, thank you so much. It was a
pleasure.
Thanks, man. That was like educational for me because I can't. I'm just like, there's so much I didn't remember about that movie.
Yeah, those.